Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. On this day, the 20th of Shawwal 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 19th of April 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have covered one segment from 7 to 8. And in that segment, we discussed those Quranic verses that mention both the evil Jews and the good Jews. Now we get on with our next segment, which is called Straight Talk. And in this segment, we interview Brother Ahmad Parak Hafizahullah, who is very much involved in the burial affairs of the Muslim community. And in addition to that, he is also a counselor in this city of Durban. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Alan Azalan, to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning, Mona, and it's a long weekend. A lot of our brothers and sisters have gone to a small vacation after Ramzan. So this is the first long weekend after Ramzan we have got, Maulana.
Now, before we get into politics, and I know you are quite involved in some of the issues that are going to be discussed this morning, the party that you represent. So, but before we get into that, are there any new developments regarding our kafan and dafan issues?
Maulana, alhamdulillah, so far, alhamdulillah, we didn't have any accidents or anything, any major issues in this festive season with for this Easter holidays. We didn't get any, I didn't get any reports or anything, alhamdulillah, so far, so good, Maulana.
Now, you know, usually in times like this, when people come into Durban, the reason why they come here, you know, more than any other reason is our beaches. And there is dispute about whether certain beaches, the water quality is really what our municipality claims, or they're just making empty statements for the sake of encouraging visitors to come to the city.
Mulana, as far as that is concerned, 17 beaches we do honor. 3 times a day test. We then say to the community, it is already in our the council website, which beaches is ready for the use, and which one is we have a whatever problem is because of the water content, they will say no, you cannot use that. But so far, as of Thursday, when there was a council meeting, we didn't have any discussion. From the news I have report from the council is most of our beaches is okay for swimming because they have been checking on a regular basis for the last 2-3 weeks because they were expecting a huge bumper Easter festival here in Durban. Therefore, our beaches so far, we didn't have any issues or anything like that.
Okay, now our next issue, I know you must be quite involved about this. It's about the Durban Metro Police Training College to be upgraded. Now, one of the parties condemns the proposed trainee salary cuts. In the article that has been published on the Independent Online, we read, under the new model, trainees who currently receive a full salary of 17,000 will now receive a mere stipend of 7,000 rand per month. This is as trainees. The remaining 10,000, which is deducted from that 17,000, per trainee will be allocated to a private service provider who will also be responsible for daily operations, including cooking, cleaning, and security. Now, these people are trainees. Are they being taxed on that 17,000?
Maulana, how the system works is whenever we have these training programs, they have it for every year, they have always advertised, they're looking for suitable candidates to come and join the Metro Police. Now, in terms of the legislation, they have to first do 100% due diligence in terms of the education, in terms of certification, in terms of health. Everything has to be approved first. And once they have earmarked from the interviews and due diligence have been done, they will say, okay, fine, so many candidates are ready to join the police academy. Now, in terms of the criteria was used, that course was only for 1 year and they were getting 17,000. Now, they have now saying to us, and this has come before the full council on Thursday, they say they want to upgrade the police academy. Yes, we agree because it has its days. It needs to be upgraded to bring it in advance to the new specification, international on how police training is supposed to be taken place. So that's one. Secondly, now the course is going to go on for 3 years. Now, why they want to do it into 3 years is police officers' qualification to be upgraded to NOF level 6. Now, that is bringing them to another complete different grade. Now, to do that, now they're saying, okay, fine. We have given you for the first year 17,000 a month, which is taxed. They get PAYE, UIF. Everything is done according to, because it's government. So it has to be in terms of SARS, the workman's compensation. Everything has to be done because they have already been chosen to serve the Metro Police, and that way they signed the contract for a period to do this call. Now the issue is, we're saying, okay, fine. If you're saying that you now want to take out 10,000 rands and bring an outsourced person to come and do these calls, now this, we think it's not going to work, because end of the day, we say everything should be insourced. We don't believe in outsourced. Previously, if you had all the insourced, your roads were getting done, your lights were getting fixed, your plumbing was taken place. Today, everything is outsourced. Today, we got more problems because of outsourced. Same work we're doing three times instead of one time. That's the problem we are seeing. So now, in this incident, we agree that the facilities need to be upgraded, fine. But we don't agree now, you're taking away a 10,000, that how that person is going to survive now. That is it. And you're expecting to do the fall for the period of 3 years now. That is the issue. So we have not voted against this thing. This came before the council on Thursday. We say, no, this thing needs to go back. Now, we need more clarity on this issue, because it's not going to work, because something is not right here. Something is fishy here. So we agree that you want to bring it to level 6, but what you're getting for level 6, and why do you want to take off and give it to outsource when we know we have got the capability of doing it in-house? That's what we are saying, Malala.
Now, currently, the trainees are doing a one-year course and receiving 17,000. Now, for the MQF level 6, it has to be 3 years. Would the municipality have funds to pay 17,000 rand for a three-year course?
Mulana, in terms of the new budget, they have allocated. Now, whether this thing is going to take off, it's not going to take off, because things like this, what happens, come before us, they want to do A, B, C. They got big, big ideas of doing it. I can't see it, because of there's so much of turmoil in terms of finances at the moment. and your budget has gone up from 75 billion to 71 billion they are looking for. So it's a serious problem, and it's going to kick in the 1st of July. So, you know, there's tariff increases, there's the communities, there's a huge outcry in terms of tariff increases and all that, which we will be talking as we go on. But the problem here is whether we get the money or not, facility has to be upgraded. Now, how are they going to get the money? Maybe they will apply to province and national to get granted aid to assist that. I'm not sure at the moment. This only thing has come before us on Thursday in council. I think it has to take its course, the plan, what's going to happen going forward. I don't think it's going to take off in the next 6 months or a year. That's what I can tell you.
Now, the municipality claims that the 10,000 will be used for daily operations like cooking and cleaning, etc. The question arises, are the trainees, those that are earning 17,000 for their training period, are they paying for the daily operations like cooking, or, you know, they have to buy their own food, send their clothes to the laundry and pay for the laundry? Or is the municipality doing it while giving them 17,000 a month?
No, the first set, the 1 year course, they have to do everything themselves, including all the deduction, whatever they get from the salaries, and that is it, and they have to do everything. Pay for the food, transportation, everything. They only get the training from us, from the city. That's all, nothing else. Now, on the other hand, now this new legislation they want to pass before they brought it before us, they want to take out this 10,000. They only want to give the trainee 7,000, the other 10,000. Now they're saying, we will supply you the food and everything else. Now, we say no. Previously, I think leave it as status quo, because that way will be better. Because now once you bring in an outsourced, that's where the problem comes in. And we know with experience in every other department what happens when you outsource.
Are the trainees living in hostels, or, you know, they are at their homes and attending college every day?
Well, what happens when you get trainees, once they have done the due diligence, we have to then make sure they've got proper accommodation, they're going to be on time at the academy to make sure they get proper training to go to hit the streets. So that's where some of them, they need to be housed. That's where they pay their own rental, they do their own thing, they get their own food, everything else. So they're so being controlled of their own destiny when it comes to this training course.
So does that justify the fact that now the municipalities say, we are going to be paying for their food and probably laundry and whatever other expenses? Does that justify the municipality reducing the salary, because it's 17,000, reducing it to a stipend of 7,000, because now they're going to carry the cost of all this?
I don't think they will be able to come out with 7,000, because today they, you know, most of these guys, they're from rural and they have got qualifications and they have went to colleges and some of them went to universities. They can't get work and all that. When they come there, the accommodation is alone anything from 3,000 to 5,000 beds, and how, and transportation, food and everything, they won't be able to come out. Impossible. I think by doing this, we're not going to get quality people who's going to join our police academy in this case. Yeah.
The municipality is using this to justify the 10,000 deduction, that they are going to provide everything. You know, they are justifying it in that way. Does it justify it? But, you know, to say, okay, we would do your cooking, we will provide the food, your laundry, your accommodation, everything, but we're going to deduct 10,000 for that. Can the municipality justify the deduction by, you know, doing all this for the trainees?
Well, no, they're not giving us the full rundown. That's what we are asking. That's where my party, we think, give us a full rundown exactly for 10,000 at the moment you're giving for on a 1 year course, you're giving them 17,000. So now you're going to give them a stipend of 7,000, you're taking away 10,000. What is that 10,000 made of? Now you're only saying we're only giving food and a few things. Give us a full breakdown and what the actual cost factor is. That they don't want to see. So you know what happens in cases like this? This is another fraud of how to take out money from the system. This is the whole thing. If you read in between the lines, this is what it amounts to.
Now the municipality said it will issue a request for proposal, RFP, to identify a private service provider who can fund, construct, and manage the college. This service provider will manage the institution for an agreed period, after which full ownership and control will revert to the Durban Metro Police Service. Now, this article creates the impression that the municipality has realized that outsourcing is draining funds. You know, when you read the whole article, before you come to this point, it creates that impression that they realize that outsourcing is draining funds, yet they are going to identify a private service provider. So we don't really understand as members of the public how these people think, how do they work. They themselves create the impression that we have realized this, but they are still going and doing, you know, what is draining funds.
Malala, this is the only way they can pull money out of the system. That's when we, the only way, if you bring anything in-house, then everything is accountability. But when you do it on an outsource, it comes under a tender process. Now, when it comes under a tender process, they know what to do. They are too sharp when it comes to the ANC, the ruling party is master at this game. You can never beat them. They know to cross the T, dot the I, and how to take out what to do. They will bring their own cronies into the system, how to even manipulate the tender, who's going to get it. They already know who's going to get the tender long before it goes out for tender and all. Going on the tender is just a ploy to make sure that we're making it legal now. That's what they say. This is the only way they pull out money now. That's why we are saying this outsourcing is a curse. When it goes outsourced, we don't get anything done. That's it. This one, this whole project they're talking about, they're going to outsource it. They will have to do a due diligence. They have to go to ESCO. Now, ESCO, when it goes to ESCO, they're in control there. It comes to MPEC. We only can send it backwards and forwards and ask for A, B, C, D. We're not happy with this. So keep pushing it backwards. So all this work is going to take time. By the time this thing takes off, you're looking at about another anything from 12 to 18 months. So it's not a issue that came before council on Thursday, and in the next month or so, we're going to roll it out. It's not going to happen because the budget is only coming out on the 1st of July. So first, it has to go into the budget. Secondly, there's more pressing issues than this matter here about this police academy to get it up and running proper. So, you know, by the time this whole thing comes back onto the council for full approval, it's going to take time.
Now, they state that the private service provider must firstly fund, construct, and manage. But the service provider would manage the college for an agreed upon period of time, after which full ownership and control will revert to Durban Metro Police. I am sure whichever private service provider takes on this contract is going to demand an astronomical cost to cover themselves again unforeseen losses. The question arises, why is the municipality taking this route?
Malana, as I said previously, and I always said, what they're doing is they're trying to shift the whole focus into this project here and give it to a contractor do the whole entire thing, do the training, get the facility properly done up and everything, and then we will do a, like an agreement and an MOU. After a set period of time, 3 years or 5 year period, we are going to take it over and we'll run it from there, or it will go back into tender. This is what they are saying. But the whole issue about this, but this scenario is, it is the way that they want to put it so that they can be able to, because they only got another year left from, actually about 18 months from now or so, before the next election. And then they know this is the only opportunity to start building themselves to, from all these tenders and everything. This is where they are at the moment. So you know what? The long and the short is, you can do whatever you want. This project is not going to take off very, very easily. By the time they get all the due diligence, get the right contractors, who's going to give the tender, all that is going to take, and it will maybe only roll over. They'll try and push it before the election, but to approve it so that they have already got the monies in their coffers so that their cronies are being looked after. What happened after that, they don't know who's going to come into power as of the after the 2026 election.
Our next issue. The Itikweni municipality's draft budget proposes hefty tariff hikes for electricity, water and sanitation, which the city said was in line with increases proposed by the Umgeni Utukela Water and Eskom. Now, we know that your party is very opposed to this. As one of the representative states, it is of great concern that the draft budget, which includes these excessive increases, was only brought to the councillor's attention today during, now meaning Thursday, during the council meeting. This, he uses the word, sneaky and deceitful tactic is designed to force councillors into voting on a draft budget without affording them the proper time to scrutinize the study, to scrutinize and study it in detail. Now, the manner in which the draft budget council was presented is considered to be sneaky and deceitful to force councillors to vote on a draft budget without affording them the proper time to scrutinize and study it in detail. Now, you as a councillor, can you explain the proper procedure that should have been followed regarding this issue?
Well, no, whenever there's this budget process, it has to be first formulated what the increase. First, you have to do your homework. The first homework, you need to, if you go to electricity, we buy electricity from Eskom. What Eskom is charging us and what we're going to sell back to the, from the city to the consumers on the ground. Water we buy from together. Rates is our own in-house rates valuation system that we use. Now, all this was done. Now, we are saying in council that the route and the criteria is used. First, you put it up to the draft. It has to come to ESCO. Then ESCO, it'll come to council. Before it even gets approved, then it has to go to community. Community then will debate this thing. Yes, they're not happy. And we my party is not happy. You're not happy. The whole KZN is not happy with all the increases. For one reason, there's no service delivery in terms of water, sanitation, electricity, and rates. What are we paying for? Now, with all this, they sneaked it on Thursday, put it, they want to shove it down our throat to say, water, we want 15% increase, electricity 12.72%, and rate 6.5. And then they're saying to you, we only make it 1.5 on the water from 15, from 15, we say, okay, now it'll translate to 13.5, 2.5, the city is where, 1.5, the city is where to make, because from 13.5, 1.5 will give you the 15%. Now, this is how they do things. The reason they keep it till the last minute and they push it through to council, to now when it comes before council, that's where the biggest problem we have. Now, ANC, the ruling party, has got 94 seats. The DA has got 38 seats. Now, between the ANC and the bloc, which we call all the smaller parties, they get two pay packets, the bloc guys, meaning they get from the council, they get the salary, and the ANC will look after the bloc. So whatever they vote on, the bloc will help them to get it passed. Now, when they bring it before council, that's where our problem is. Now, then you've got the EFF and then the IFP. Now, because of the merger that they're working towards and all that, and there's a big crack in the GNU at the moment, so there's a problem there too. Now, the thing is, this, it comes before the council. We get bombarded because they will still get it passed, but it's still now, although it gets passed in council, it is also the scrutiny of the community. They need to call up meetings. They only got till April this month. This month is almost over. They got full month of May before the 1st of July. They need to object, even go to an extent, bring a court order because it's expensive, get community in your community, do a letter to the city mayor, the manager, city manager, and bring it to the speaker's attention. We're not happy. They can't do anything. Once you block them from these increases, and they must come before us on the table and say, you know what, this ESCOM is charging. Then they need to go back and just go back to ESCOM, go back to Tugela and tell them, listen here, we're not happy. The community is not prepared to pay because of this, that reason. So they have to come and come with a proper solution on the table. We can't just accept what Tugela is saying. After negotiating and everything, the best we can come down on the water was 13.5. We can give you, but we wanted 15, more than that. In fact, actually, we wanted 17-something. Now they came to 13.5. And the city saying we only increased it by 1.5. Now, we don't want any increase. We say leave status quo has it. Now the community must make the decision and revert back to the city and say, we're not happy with this yet. If all the ratepayers get together, now that is the other problem here. Ratepayers are not in line with what we are doing in the city, and they all got their own status. Everybody wants to play their own card here. You got to have one major ratepayers association in the province and the city here to say, you know what, we talk with one voice. In this item, we might not differ with you as a ratepayer or with the other association. But in this water, light, and rates, we all stand together and we say, we're not interested. They can't do you a thing because end of the day, if every single person in our book, in terms of rates, light, and water, they don't pay for 1 month, they'll bring the whole city to a standstill. They can't move. As we speak, as of Thursday, we only got money for 28 days left in our coffers to pay. And we still got to pay salaries. We still got to pay creditors. So there is a massive problem. That's the reason from 64 billion, they're looking for 74 billion. The budget is operation budget, they're looking for 64.2 billion. And capital budget, 77.1 billion. So where are they going to find this thing? To find this money, it's not easy. That it is we've been owed 65 billion from our creditors. Creditors don't want to pay. Creditors meaning all our consumers. They say, you know what? We're not paying. We don't have the money. We're 48% of our city and the country is unemployed. We don't have the money. This is the problem we are faced with. So, you know, now they've maybe coming before the council again, end of this month, they might come out with a new debt relief program. Now, I'm hoping that comes, it will ease some of the tension, ease some of the pressure from our consumers to say, okay, fine, if I owed you 100 rand and there's a concession there of 25, 30%, take that and at least clear yourself up, even if you have to borrow from family members or whatever it is, it will be a big saving for you, because that's the only way this we'll be able to get money. And we are writing off unbelievable amounts here, because people, they you know, the informal sector getting free light and water. Now somebody has to pay for it, and that's where all our monies are going away. So in this water tariffs, you know, we categorically, you must say, we're not interested. We all stand together, put an objection, and then every ratepayer get together and go to the city and say, we're not interested in this. No increase for this year. Till you get water, especially water, for the type up to 2032, our infrastructure has to get repaired. That's one. Secondly, electricity, we can't pay the tariffs now at 12.72%. And 6.5% rates should be, we're not paying for the next 3 years. That should have been the case. Because at the end of the day, there is, what are you paying for if there's no infrastructure? With this rains we had in the last couple of days, how many cars, in fact, more people are putting more tires and getting the wheel balance, wheel alignment sorted out than anything else. In fact, you go to all, these guys are doing a roaring business at the moment, because once there's a pothole, there's water, you can't see that way. Only when you hit it, then you know your two tires are gone. Some of them, the tires are bursting, and you need to send letters to the council and say, you know what, and you must sue the council, send a legal letter, and they have to pay, because it is their duty. You if you take out rates, you're duty bound to pay.
Jazakumullah for the valuable contribution you made. You know, there's still much more to discuss, but unfortunately, due to time constraints, you know, I really wanted to know about these politicians who have been named, tried and found guilty, but nothing has been done to recover millions of rands of stolen funds. Is any action going to be taken to freeze bank accounts and confiscate assets to assist towards raising the funds required? You know, unfortunately, we don't have time for answers to that. But inshallah, we will talk again next week. Once again, Jazakumullah Khair al-Jaza for your valuable contribution this morning. And during the course of the day, inshallah, you will get the podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.